Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 says, "Hast thou not known?" Question mark. "Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Amen. Father, we thank you again for the privilege to be here. Thank you for every person that's here. Thank you, Lord, for your spirit. We thank you for your word. We just pray, Lord, that you bring everything together today the way that you want it to be brought together. I pray your anointing upon me as I deliver your word. Let every heart and ear be open and receptive to your truth. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Waiting on a lift. God bless you. You may be seated. How many of you ever seen a bird fly? Doesn't that look fun and easy? How many of you have ever wished you could fly? I remember as a kid wishing I could fly, and I wanted to fly so bad that one time I was about 7 or 8 and I snuck one of my mom's towels out of the house and took it out to the barn and climbed up on top of the barn and tucked it in my t-shirt and jumped off the barn. You won't believe what happened. I started flying all around the yard. See, I told you you wouldn't believe it. No, that's not what happened. I fell face first into the barnyard and all that was there. Thankfully, I didn't hurt myself or didn't break anything. I'm sure it contributed to some other problems that I have in life. But I wanted to fly. In 1983, I learned how to fly airplanes. Supposed to have a picture of that. There you go. That's a Piper Tomahawk. That's what I first learned in. In 1991, I learned how to jump out of airplanes. Nope. Video. That's what that looks like. That wasn't me, but I did some skydiving. It's really not hard. All you do is just open the door and fall out. 2004, I took my first paramotor flight. And that's what that is. It's a motor you put on your back. And I was flying along the beach of Galveston. Next slide. Nope. Should be the motor. There you go. That's what that looks like. Sitting on the ground from the side. And that's what it looks like from the back. And that's what it looks like sitting out here in Cox Field by the ball field. That other picture that you had up there would be fine, Brianna. Yeah, that's a picture I took from 12,576 feet. Over Galveston. That's my feet. Looking down from my chair where I was sitting. Amen. Okay. Next picture. That's up here on top of the mountain, Sacramento Mountains up here. That's the launch point for the gliders that you see sometimes flying over the city. That's what they look flying through the air without a motor. On them. I did crash in 2005. My parachute collapsed and I fell 152 feet and hit the ground. And for those of you that don't believe in miracles, you're looking at one. Amen. I should have been killed, should have broken every bone in my body. I got up and walked away. No broke bones. I was bruised. Amen. I was bruised for 10 months. I had a visible bruise. And I've got some pictures of that, but I'm not going to show them to you. In 2008, I took a hot air balloon ride over the Ozark Mountains. In 2016, I jumped off of this hill up here. That's from the balloon pictures over the Ozarks. It was early in the morning, and the fog was settled in the mountains. It looked like a river. That's a picture of that. What's the next picture? That's in March of this year, I learned how to fly hang gliders. So I enjoy flying. It's very peaceful when everything goes according to plan. Somebody said flying is hours and hours of boredom followed by moments of sheer terror. And that's a lot of truth to that. So flying has been one of my happy places, thousands of feet above the earth, with less traffic and less noise, just me and Jesus, and occasionally a few birds. Let's not show that one yet. Have you ever noticed birds flying, circling around in the sky? You just see them flying. They're not flapping their wings. They're just going in circles. You may have thought that they were hunting, that they were looking for something on the ground, and for some type of birds, that's true, but depending on the bird. But what the birds are really doing is they're waiting on a lift. They're waiting for a thermal. They're waiting for an updraft of air to help keep them aloft. That's what a thermal is. It's an updraft of hot air. In the desert, it's called a dust devil. And when you see it doing that out there, that's what it is. And they really are of the devil. That's what caused my crash in 2005. There was not a swirl that I could see because I was not in the desert. But when I flew into it, it picked me up and twisted me around twice, wrapped my risers, and did that collapse. You can show that picture. The wing collapsed, and I went into a left-hand dive, and then I pulled real hard on the right to try to correct it and collapse the other side, and fell into the ground. But lift is important. It keeps the bird aloft. It's what paragliders use to stay up, and it can also be dangerous if it collapses your wing. But the Bible says, okay, that's what it looks like. A half-collapsed wing, and then I collapse the other side. So I don't recommend you do that. If you ever see that, if you're flying and you look up and you see that, it's time to start praying. Okay, thank you, Brianna. But the Bible says, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. But if you want to soar into the heavens, you have to be willing to wait upon the Lord. If you run around trying to fly on your own and you're flapping your wings and your arms and putting forth a lot of effort, what's going to happen is you're going to wear yourself out. What's going to happen is you're going to get tired and you're not going to be able to get the lift that you want. But the Bible says if we will wait upon the Lord, if we will feel after Him, well, then we can get a lift and we can soar into the heavens above the things of this earth as long as we're dependent upon the lift that He can provide and not that which we can provide for ourselves. Those that are crazy enough to jump off of mountains have to have lift in order to stay up. If there's not much lift, there's not going to be a very long flight. But one way that the paragliders stay aloft is they look for thermals. And one of the ways that we look for thermals is we look for birds because we can't see them up in the mountains, but we can see the birds circling, and that's a good indication that there's some lift in that area. And so we'll try to fly over to that area to be able to stay aloft. Thermals can produce lift up to tens of thousands of feet. But in order to get in the lift, you've got to be feeling for it and feel after it. Acts 17:27 says that we should seek the Lord and feel after Him that we might find Him, because He's not far from any one of us. So to those who say, well, I don't feel God, I would ask you the question, are you feeling after Him? Are you looking for him? Because the Bible says to feel after him, because he's not far from any one of us. He's close. He's closer than you realize. You might not see him, but that doesn't mean he's not there. That means you need to be feeling after him. You need to be looking for a lift. Galatians 6 and 9 also tells us, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The NLT says, so don't get tired of doing what is good. Don't get discouraged and give up, for we will reap a harvest of blessings at the appropriate time. It's already been stated that we encourage you to come 30 minutes before service to find a place to pray. And then after prayer, the service starts with a song. And then we have some announcements, and then we sing another song. And then we sing another song. And then we sing another song. What are we doing? We're waiting on a lift. We're just feeling after the Lord. We're just praising him. We're just worshiping him. We're trying to get in the vein of the Holy Ghost and find out what God is doing and how God's moving so we can get lifted up over the cares of life that we brought into this place. Amen. There's five boys in my family. There we all are. I'm the middle child. The two on your right is my oldest brother, Kurt, and Mark, and then me, and then Steve, and then Carrie. Four of the five are ministers, pastors. We've been a very blessed family. But my oldest brother that was on the right there, he's also a pilot. And back in the early 80s, we had a friend who owned a plane, would let us use it. And so one day, Kurt and I decided we was going to go flying together. The problem was the plane was not very much larger than the one I showed you. In fact, it was the same. It was a Cessna. What I showed you was a Piper Tomahawk. It was a Cessna 150. But the problem was that plane is real small, and my brother's real big, like 350 pounds big. And to make matters worse, we were at a small airport with a short runway with trees on both ends. But we wanted to be together. And we wanted to enjoy our hobby, and we wanted to fly. And so he got in first. He's the oldest and the biggest and needed more room. So he got in, and then I got in, and we were packed, literally packed, wall to wall. His shoulder on that door, and then his shoulder up against me, and my shoulder against him, and my shoulder against that door. And we tried and slammed the door to finally get it shut. Then we take off down the runway, and we're not doing very good. We're not picking up very much speed. Finally, we get enough lift, enough speed to get off the runway, and we start climbing out a little bit. The stall warning goes off. Nah! Stall warning is an indicator that your airspeed's too low, too slow, that you need to push the nose down to get some more speed up. So he pushes the nose down, and the trees are getting closer and closer. I say, pull up, Kurt, pull up. He pulls up, and he pushes back down. We was going down the runway like this, like a roller coaster. I kept saying, pull up, and he'd pull up, and the stall warning would go off, and he'd push it down. I say, pull up, Kurt, we're going to hit the trees. He said, I know, but the stall warning is going off. And I said, yeah, but there's a little bit of grace in that stall warning. There's no grace in those trees. Pull up. And by the grace of God, we barely cleared the trees. God overlooked our stupidity and had mercy on us. I'm here today to tell you that story. We never did that again out of that airport with that airplane, I promise. But I told you that to tell you this. How many times are we just like my brother and I? We get loaded down with the cares of this life. And we're trying to fly, we're trying to make it, we're trying to get through. And every time we pull up a little bit and start thinking we're fixing to get some lift, the stall warning goes off. And that's what it sounds like. It scares you to death every time it goes off. You just think, oh no, I'm going to crash. And you will if you don't do something different, but it's letting you know you need to make some alterations. You need to make some corrections. You can't keep going through life the way you're going through life.
And there's some people here this morning that I'm preaching to right now that this week the stall warning's been going off in your life. It's been letting you know, hey, you need to make some corrections. You need to make some changes. If you don't do something different, it's not, the outcome's not going to be pleasant. But I've come with some good news for you today. In fact, I've already shared it with you. I'll share it again. Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. Have you never heard or understood? Don't you know that the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth? He never grows faint or weary. No one can measure the depth of his understanding. He gives power to those who are tired and worn out. He offers strength to the weak. Even you shall become exhausted and young men shall give up. But those who wait on the Lord shall find new strength. They will fly high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Isn't that a wonderful passage of Scripture? Who does it say will receive strength? Those who wait upon the Lord. But if you don't wait, if you run and rush through life and everything's a panic, and you try to make it dependent upon yourself and your own power and your own strength and your own ability, I can promise you somewhere in the future there's going to be a crash. Now, if we were to go outside this building this morning and try to learn how to fly, we'd start off by walking, and then we'd start jogging, and then we'd start running, hoping that we could get enough speed built up to get some lift to get off the ground. But that's not the way it works, and that's not the way it works with the Lord. How many knows that God's ways are not our ways? Amen. The Bible tells us that. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, he said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Notice what God says here in his word, verse 31, Isaiah 40. He said, "Those who wait on the Lord will find new strength. They will fly high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." Now, we think you should walk and then run and then start flying, right? That makes sense to us. You start off slow and you start building up speed, and then finally you get enough speed to get some lift and you get off the ground. But notice what the word of God says. God says, "Those that wait on me shall fly and then run and then walk." It's just the opposite of what we think it should be. But when a person gets filled with the Spirit, they're flying high. They're soaring above the troubles and the cares of life that they came to God with. But then they have to learn to run the race with patience. And then we learn to walk by faith. We fly, and then we run, and then we walk. In the book of Acts, we find about 120 people gathered together in the upper room, praying and waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit. After about 5 days of waiting, maybe one of them said, "What are we waiting on?" And maybe one of them said, "We're waiting on a lift." And they said, "A lift? What are you talking about? That's the craziest thing I ever heard." They said, "We're waiting on the promise. We're waiting on what Jesus told us to be here waiting for." In Acts 1, 4 and 5, he had told them, being assembled together with them, he being Jesus, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, "He, you've heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." 500 people were in the group that heard Jesus tell them to go to Jerusalem and to wait for the promise. 500. But 10 days later, there's only 120 of them still there. 380 of them got tired of waiting. And because they got tired of waiting, they missed the greatest gift that heaven has for earth. I wonder how much we have missed in life simply because we haven't been willing to wait upon the Lord. We live busy lives. We rush here and we rush there, and we leave exhausted and tired and weary and unable to continue on. But it doesn't have to be that way. That's not the will of God. He wants us to have strength to mount up with wings as eagles and run and not be weary and walk and not faint. The reason we get tired, the reason we get run down is because we're trying to live life on our own and dependent upon our own strength and our own power and our own ability to do the things that we need to do. One psalmist said, my feet were almost gone. I was slipping over the edge of the cliff. I was weary with all that was going on around me. And I was depressed and despondent and was concerned about how things were going to go. He said, until I went to the sanctuary, until I went to the church house. And when I got in the house of the Lord and the people of God were gathered together, and maybe they began to sing the old song, won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear. And as they began to sing, they stretched out their wings, they stretched out their arms, and the Spirit of God began to move. And before you know it, he forgot about all of his trouble. He forgot about all of his cares. He forgot about the trials of life. And he left there full of victory because he understood that everything wasn't the way that he thought it was when he went to the house of the Lord. But when you get into the house of the Lord and you begin to feel after God, you can find him and he'll lift you up. Amen. Psalm 16:11 says that in his presence there's fullness of joy. In his presence. Get in his presence. There's fullness of joy there. And at his right hand there's pleasures forevermore. Amen. So when the cares of life are getting you down, what you need to do is you need to get your wings out. You need to start feeling after him. You need to start waiting on a lift because he's not far from any one of us. Another old song says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And when you do that, then the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So the reason you get burdened down, the reason you get depressed and despondent is because you've got your eyes on your trouble. You've got your eyes on the circumstances and situations all around you instead of turning your eyes upon Jesus. Oh, but once you get your eyes on Jesus, once you catch a lift, once you get above the cares of this world, there's a whole lot less pollution up there, folks. There's a lot less smog up there above the clouds. And those of you that have ever done much flying in an airplane, you know that you can be at the airport and it'll be raining. You say, oh, no, man, I'm scared to death. You know, this plane might crash and there's a storm and all of this. And you get in a plane, you take off, and just a few thousand feet, you break through the clouds and the sunshine. Amen. You don't see a storm. It's not raining up there. You're above it all. You get a lift. You leave all that other stuff behind. Amen. Who wants to walk through life barely making it? Burdened down with troubles and cares. Being like me and my brother on the runway, up and down, just barely making it. You know, most people, they, instead of soaring like eagles, they go around pecking like chickens. We need to get out of the barnyard, folks. You wasn't created for the barnyard. You were destined for the skies. God wants you to be above it all, not below and beneath it all. Ephesians 2, 1 through 6 says, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he hath loved us, for when we were dead in sins, he has quickened us together in Christ. By grace are ye saved, and he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's what we need. We need a quickening. We need to be raised. We need to sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. That's God's desire. I hope it's your desire. And maybe somebody's asking the question, well, how do I get there? You get a lift. You get born again. You get filled with the same spirit that filled the upper room on the day of Pentecost. 2 Corinthians 12, 2 through 4, Paul said, I was caught up into the third heaven 14 years ago. Whether my body was there or just my spirit, I don't know. Only God knows. But I do know that I was caught up into paradise and heard things so astounding that they cannot be told. What happened to Paul? He caught a lift. He got carried up into the heavens. How do we get a lift? What does the Bible say? Those that wait upon the Lord. How good are you at waiting? I hear a little snickering in the audience. Are you impatient? Are you one of those that have to go to the body shop every couple years and get a new horn? We have any horn honkers in the audience? Come on, don't lie. How many of you used your horn this week? I remember after I got out of Bible college, I went to work for Houston Coca-Cola, and I was driving a big truck. And when people see a big truck, they think, you know, well, he's slow. Well, I'm not slow. And I didn't work slow, and I didn't drive slow. And they put me in an old truck that didn't have a horn. The horn didn't work. That was not a good combination. I remember going to the mechanic and I said, Steve, you've got to fix the horn in my truck. Some people use the horn more than they use the blinkers. And some people don't use their blinkers. Is there anybody here today that don't use your blinkers? People that don't use their blinkers, they need Jesus. Because I have some place to go. And I want to get there as soon as possible. But I'm trying to be a Christian, I'm trying to be kind, and I see them coming, so I don't want to pull out in front of them, so I'm waiting for them to go by, and they just poke, 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 and then right before they get to me, they turn off without ever turning on a blinker. And then they make me need more Jesus. Because I want to follow them to wherever they're going. And go up and open the door and say, hey, you see this little doohickey right here on the side of your steering column? It's called a blinker. Use it. Amen. Confession is good for the soul, the Bible says. I'm just confessing. James 1, 2 through 4 said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Amen. The NLT said, dear brothers and sisters, whenever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy. For when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be strong in character and ready for anything. So the trying of our faith worketh patience. Most of us don't like to wait, but it's in the waiting that God is doing his best work. Amen. Hurry up, God, where are you at? I'm right here. What are you doing? I'm developing some patience in you. Well, I don't need any more patience. I got all I need. Not. In your patience, possess ye your souls. So if you want to be saved, you need some patience. And patience comes when your faith gets tried, the Bible says. But we don't like to wait, and we wonder where God is at, why he's not there, and we're tempted to think that God has forgotten us. The Bible says in Isaiah 49, 15 and 16, can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will not I forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. God hasn't forgotten you. God knows exactly where every one of us at. He knows exactly what every one of us are going through. He's never more close to us than when he seems the most distant. He hasn't left. He hasn't moved off. He hasn't gone anywhere. He's right there waiting for you to feel after him. Psalms 55 and 22 said, give your burdens to the Lord and he will take care of you. Airplanes have weight limits for a reason. I read about two hunters that went to Canada to kill moose, and the pilot was going to fly them in and leave them for a week and come back and get them. He said, there's only room for one moose. Both of you can't get one. He said, okay. And so a week later, he comes back, and they're out there waiting on him, and they've got two moose. And he said, I told you I can only take one. They said, well, you know, we can do it. The guy last year, he said it's the same thing, and we had two then, and we'll give you an extra $1,000 to fly us out of here. So they load up, and they take off, and they crashed into the trees. And the two hunters come to in the back of the plane, and one of them says, you all right? He said, yeah, I think so. He said, where are we? And he looked out the window. He said, about 100 yards further than last year. Some of us are slow learners, aren't we? How many crashes do we have to endure? When will we learn? There's a weight limit. And if you see the limit, you're going to crash. That's not only true for airplanes, it's also true for people. That's why people have nervous breakdowns. That's why people fall apart. That's why people can't function, because they're overloaded. Because they haven't done what I've preached and they haven't done what the scriptures have said. We haven't cast our cares upon him. But this is the best place I know to do that. Maybe you're not used to worship like we worship around here, and you come to church and you see some people clapping, and you wonder what are they clapping about? And maybe you see some people lifting their hands, and you're wondering what's that all about. Well, now you know what that's all about. They're just lubricating their wings right here, and then they're putting them out here trying to find the will of God and the Spirit of the Lord as he's moving around here. And you know what? If you'll do that, I promise you'll feel a whole lot better. A whole lot better than like this. Tim, I see you back over. I'm not talking about you. But that's my pizza-making friend. An Italian sandwich. If you never had one of his Italian sandwiches, you need to. You can't go to heaven until you have one of those sandwiches. 10 days of waiting in the upper room, the Bible says, as they come to the music, please. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. Where are you at, Denise? Wake up. They were all in one accord. Who said church can't be fun? When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. What were they doing? They were waiting on lift. And as they were waiting and waiting and waiting, the Bible says suddenly there came a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind, like a thermal, and they caught a lift that they had been waiting for, and they got carried up into the heavens and had a supernatural experience that changed their life forever. Stand with me if you would, please. Am I preaching to anybody here this morning that came to service today needing a lift? Maybe you've experienced things from God in the past. It just seems like a distant memory. You can only soar on one thermal for so long. Glider pilots fly from thermal to thermal because they dissipate, they go out. And so we keep looking for another one to keep us in the air. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There's no searching his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength and mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. If you need power today, there's power here available for you. If you're here this morning in need of strength, God is here to strengthen you. If you're weary, there's rest here this morning in the arms of Jesus. These altars are open to anyone who would like to come and pray today. You don't have to leave this place burdened down with the cares of life. We have some prayer team members moving to the front that will be willing to pray with you. If you have some needs that you would like somebody just to help you pray about, we have some people here this morning that are willing and available to do that as well. 1 Peter 5 and 7 says, cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28, come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Are you waiting on a lift here today? God's here to provide you with that lift. He's here to provide you with that strength. Amen. Anybody else would like to come forward for some prayer? We're happy to pray with you this morning.